Welcome to Drive Time GP, a podcast exclusively for healthcare professionals. An oral contraceptive option for women of all ages.
Historically, the most commonly prescribed contraceptive option in Australia has been the combined oral contraceptive pill. But now we have an oral progesterone option that has a similar efficacy and missed pill window to that of the combined oral contraceptive, which may be an attractive option for many women. Slynder, drospirenone, is a progesterone-only contraceptive pill, but not a mini pill, that can offer the benefits of effective contraception with a more predictable bleeding pattern than other progesterone-only pills, and without the known risks associated with the combined pill. To discuss the use of Slynder in women of different age groups and with different risk profiles, we are joined today by Dr. Tamara Hunter, gynaecologist and fertility specialist from Perth. Welcome, Tamara.
Thank you very much for having me.
So, we just heard a little bit about Slynder, drospirenone. Can you tell us about it and exactly how it works as a contraceptive?
Yes, drospirenone is a really unique progestogen as it is derived from spironolactone. So it's got those anti-mineralocorticoid and anti-androgenic properties to it. It doesn't have any estrogenic or any anti-glucocorticoid activity. And so it has an activity that's very similar to the natural hormone progesterone. Now, the fascinating thing about drospirenone is that given it is in a dosing of 4 milligrams, they've determined that that dosing from a bioactive point of view is enough to inhibit ovulation. So it is the only progesterone-only formula that's on the market that will suppress follicular stimulation and suppress LH surge, which is what is responsible for ovulation. Of course, it has the other progestogenic effects such as thickening of the cervical mucus and also thinning of the endometrium, which is how other progesterone contraceptives work. It kind of encompasses both the estrogenic and progestogenic effects of the combined pill, except it's progesterone only.
Okay, so traditionally, progesterone-only contraceptive pills or mini pills have had some drawbacks. Can you tell us about the main differences between Slynder and the other progesterone-only pills available in Australia?
As you quite rightly pointed out, the progesterone-only pills have a very narrow range in which to take it on a day-by-day basis. And so if there is any irregularity to the time in which you're taking that pill, it will often lead to breakthrough bleeding. However, with the drospirenone, because it has a much longer half-life than the other progestogens, you can have a little bit more flexibility in the day-to-day habitual consumption of it and not then lead to increased breakthrough bleeding. So that's really good, particularly for young girls who might not be as compliant with taking the pill. There have been studies that also show that the bleeding profile is much more favourable, much more like the combined oral contraceptive pill, with much less breakthrough bleeding compared to the other progesterone-only preparations.
So Slynder is different from the mini pill, but can you also remind us how progesterone-only pills are fundamentally different from the combined pill in terms of risk profile due to that estrogen component of the combined pill?
Because of the estrogen component in it, there is an absolute increased risk of venous thromboembolism in all of the estrogen-containing pills as compared to those who don't take the pill at all. With a progesterone-only preparation, whether it's Slynder or whether it's one of the older style POPs, there is no appreciable increase in venous thromboembolism. In addition to that, there is also no increased risk in cardiovascular events such as stroke, whereas there is that with the estrogen-containing pills.
Great. And what about the overall safety profile of Slynder? What are the most common adverse events associated with using it?
As with many of the progesterone-only agents, we get quite concerned around the development of acne, strange bleeding habits, sometimes headaches, sometimes breast pain, sometimes mood disorder. These have been reported with Slynda, but to a much lesser extent. So the most common side effects in long-term clinical trials with Slynda include about a 3 to 4% acne rate, about a 2 to 3% irregular bleeding, headaches 2 to 3%, and breast pain around 2% as well. So it's a fairly favourable side effect profile.
So given the comparable efficacy to the combined oral contraceptive pill and the favourable side effect profile, Slynda could be a suitable initial oral contraceptive for women of all ages, our young ones, our older ones, and not just those at risk of estrogen-related side effects. Can we talk through the considerations for some of those different life stages? And let's start perhaps with adolescents who need contraception and have, let's say, period pain.
Because it has that longer half-life, 30-hour half-life, it doesn't need that strict intake as with the other progesterone-only preparations. And I feel that particularly with adolescent girls, it is an important advantage because of that compliance issue. And I think that that is something that may incentivize adolescents to take this as their first-line medication. I omitted to mention that one of the other risk factors to taking the combined oral contraceptive pill is migraine with aura, and I have a lot of young girls who come in with that. I think, therefore, Slynda is an excellent alternative for them to be taking first line. Now, as mentioned, it has that other beneficial progestogenic effect in that it thins the endometrium. And we know that by approximately 12 months of regular use of Slynda, about 50% of girls will be completely amenorrheic. So those with heavy and or painful periods, this is also an excellent option for them to consider.
So Tamara, we often in the GP world will see patients who come in, particularly our young patients, requesting an oral contraceptive pill to start with. And our default has long been to go for a combined oral contraceptive in that space and to offer that up first. What would your message be with regards Slynda in this space?
Well, I think it's important not to just put Slynda in the same category as the progesterone-only pills that are out there, because it actually suppresses the LH surge, so you're not getting ovulation. But not only that, you've got that better bleeding profile. So I think we should start to think of it in its own entity. I definitely think it should be a first-line option for young girls, particularly for those who are needing good contraception but also would like to be able to have control of their cycles as well.
So what about older patients in their 20s and 30s in that reproductive age? What are some of the factors that need to be considered when we're choosing a hormonal contraceptive in this group, and when might Slynda be a good option?
It has a very good recovery of fertility post coming off Slynda. Even though it does thin the endometrium, there's a very good recovery of a regular menstrual bleed once you see Slynda. So I think that's also quite favourable in those who might be considering fertility. And those risk factors associated with cardiovascular disease or other venous thromboembolic events is also quite favourable should there be any sort of complex medical issues in those women. There has been some concern as to whether or not it may suppress bone mineralisation and cause lower bone mineral density, but none of the evidence so far has suggested that it is suppressing of bone mineralisation at all.
And what about women who've recently given birth? What are the main considerations for use of hormonal contraception in the postpartum period?
I think that it's a very good choice. There's a couple of reasons for that. Firstly, pregnancy and the immediate postpartum is quite a pro-coagulant time. And so having a form of contraception that has the lowest risk of DVT-PE is good. The other thing too is women will often be breastfeeding and you cannot take a combined oral contraceptive pill or estrogen-containing preparation during this time. So again, having a progesterone-only preparation, I think, is a good choice for them. And again, talking to that flexibility of intake, if you're a sleep-deprived new mother and you happen to forget your pill, you've got a little bit more flexibility with its effectiveness given the long half-life.
And finally, what about our patients approaching the menopause? So a lot of them will get heavier, perhaps even more painful bleeding in the lead up to the menopause, in that perimenopausal period. Could Slynda be considered here too?
Yeah, again, I think it's a good choice. There is the recommendation that we begin to think of different options for contraception for women sort of mid-40s to late 40s due to that DVT-PE risk and also impact on blood pressure and also deranged lipids. Because the progesterone-only preparation is not thought to impact these things, then I do think that it's quite a good safety profile to have as a contraceptive agent for women approaching the menopause.
Thanks for talking through those important patient profiles. And, you know, it's obvious we need to individualise every contraceptive consult, but Slynda doesn't need to be reserved just for our patients with contraindications to oestrogen. It can be an option for women throughout their life stages. Could you summarise the key messages that you want our GPs to take away from this discussion?
Yeah, sure. So Slynda is an oral contraceptive option. It has similar contraceptive efficiency and good use patients to the combined oral contraceptive pill and also that missed pill window flexibility. It's more predictable in its bleeding pattern and it doesn't have those other estrogenic risk profiles of the combined hormonal pill. Slynda has been shown to be well tolerated and has a good safety profile. And as you mentioned, it can be used in young women, in women of reproductive age, and women right through to the menopause with good efficacy and good safety.
Tamara, that's been a wonderful session today and very informative. Thanks for coming along and sharing your knowledge with us today.
My pleasure.
Please note the following PBS information for Slynda. This product is not listed on the PBS. The product information and substantiating references can be obtained from the Drive Time Radio website. This interview was supported by Baissons Healthcare and produced in December 2024. The statements, conclusions and opinions contained in this interview are those of the participating spokesperson and not necessarily those of the supporting organisation nor Drive Time Radio Australia Proprietary Limited. The statements, conclusions and opinions contained in this interview are those of the participating spokesperson and not necessarily those of the supporting organisation nor Drive Time Radio Australia Proprietary Limited.